This is WWJ All Local.
It'll be here before you know it, the first day of school. Before that, WWJ's Charlie Langton sat down with the superintendent of the state's largest district, and Charlie joins us live with more. Charlie.
Well, good morning, Jackie. That's right. Governor Gretchen Whitmer signed a law this year that said that cell phone use in schools, well, they're banned, essentially. And that means that for the 49,000 students in the Detroit Public School Community District, Superintendent Dr. Nikolai Vitti says students they better not bring their cell phones to school, but there are some restrictions. Here's what he said.
In Detroit, here, we're going to say, you can bring the cell phones to school, but you got to put them away. And then our high school kids are going to have the option of using them at lunch, depending on the principal. But K-8s, K-5s, they've got to be put away.
And Dr. Vitti says that students learn better when they're not distracted, and those cell phones can be distracting. Dr. Vitti made those comments on my show on Fox 2, Detroit Talk City. Reporting live, Charlie Langton, WWJ News Radio 950.
Macomb County Executive Mark Hackle says the developers of AI data centers aren't doing enough to be transparent with communities. Hackle says it's the responsibility of developers to ensure data centers don't harm the environment, and there needs to be more local control over the issue.
The bottom line is utilities and developers have got to start telling that story to get people to believe that this isn't going to have that impact. And if they're telling us that story, they need to be held accountable to make sure they're fulfilling whatever the responsibilities are to assure that it isn't having that impact if one does come.
Hackle says a proposed statewide moratorium on data centers is probably the right thing to do in order for communities to avoid being blindsided.
Planned Parenthood could be getting a financial lifeline from Oakland County. WWJ's Jeremy Jenkins joining us live with more. Jeremy.
Jackie, the Board of Commissioners will vote this morning on a proposal to provide $1.5 million to Planned Parenthood's Ferndale location. It's one of just two remaining Planned Parenthood clinics in Metro Detroit after locations in Livonia and Warren closed last month following federal funding cuts. Opponents call the proposal a misuse of taxpayer money and suggest some of the funding could be used to support Democratic candidates. Commission Chairman Dave Woodward says that's not how it works.
These public dollars cannot and are not allowed by law to be used for political contributions, campaign purposes, etc. They can only be used for these services. And the contract is not an open-end blank check. It is a reimbursement for services that a patient uses. So Planned Parenthood will submit on a regular basis requests for reimbursement for the services that they provide to residents that need and deserve access to these things.
Supporters, meanwhile, say the money is needed to maintain STI testing, birth control, and other reproductive health services. The meeting is coming up at 9:30 this morning. Reporting live, Jeremy Jenkins, WWJ, News Radio 950.
We are learning more about cyber attacks that were aimed at water systems in Michigan and 11 other states. U.S. Senator Alyssa Slotkin said on her YouTube show called Intel Brief that the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency alerted states about the attack.
Put out a bulletin, a nationwide bulletin, and they said, hey, we're seeing what we think is Iran. Try and change the passwords at these water infrastructure sites. So please take a look. The state of Michigan got that bulletin, looked at our own water treatment facilities, and realized, holy crap, the same thing was going on in our treatment facilities.
Slotkin says the attacks were from Iran in retaliation for the war and the U.S. attacks on Iran's infrastructure. The cyber attacks were thwarted and there were no impacts on public health. Ford is going to stop importing a popular Lincoln model from China.
As part of a new plan to grow Lincoln production in the U.S. starting in 2030, Ford says it will phase out the importation of vehicles from China for the U.S. market. Ford currently sells the Chinese-made Lincoln Nautilus in the U.S. Lincoln has sold more than 20,000 Nautiluses so far this year in the U.S. The Ford announcement was vague on details, but said the move to build more Lincolns here in the U.S. should create thousands of direct and indirect jobs. Lincoln's two other current models, the Navigator and Aviator, are already built in the U.S. Jeff Gilbert, WWJ, News Radio 950.
Financial experts say maintaining an adequate emergency fund is important, with credit card debt in the U.S. nearing record levels. Even just $100 saved can make a huge difference and keep you out of credit card debt if you're dealing with an unexpected expense or struggling to pay bills every month.
If you are dealing with an unexpected expense, but you have a little bit of time before you can pay for it, if you're able to comparison shop, maybe it's a home repair or a car repair, that can help you save.
That's senior writer for NerdWallet, Sarah Rathner.
Nobody in Michigan won the Powerball. Last night's billion-dollar jackpot was secured by someone living in Illinois. Quincy, Illinois, if you're curious, right on the border with Iowa. If you still want to check your ticket for winnings, and you could have some smaller prizes on there, the numbers were 4, 26, 66, 67, 69, and the red Powerball was 9.
Some much-needed disaster relief is now available for Ann Arbor residents impacted by the April tornado.
A disaster recovery center will operate at the Westgate Branch Library in Ann Arbor starting today through Monday the 17th, providing assistance to residents and business owners impacted by the April 15th tornado. Now, specialists from FEMA and the SBA will be present to guide individuals through the application process. Applications can also be submitted online or on the phone until the deadline of August 31st. You are encouraged to come prepared with necessary documentation, including identification and insurance information. Learn more at disasterassistance.gov or through the official FEMA app. Tracy McCaskill, WWJ News Radio, 950.
Dearborn police say residents should stay home during the next city council meeting. The plea comes following a recent incident where far-right and anti-Muslim activist Jake Lang provoked residents during a religious celebration on August 2nd. It led to Lang allegedly being punched and stoned, with three people who attacked him being arrested. Police Chief Issa Shaheen says the department will be ready to do the case, in, just in case, I should say, more agitators show up to the city council meeting.
We've been monitoring the situation closely and coordinating with our state and federal partners. We have a plan in place, and you'll see an enhanced presence of police officers. But here's my direct ask of our residents. Please stay home. These groups that are coming here are coming for one reason, and that's to provoke a reaction and generate attention.
A Lang, no stranger to controversy, previously serving 4 years in prison for storming the U.S. Capitol on January 6th in 2021. He was also arrested in Texas this year for making a terrorist threat. Tuesday's city council meeting can be viewed virtually on the city of Dearborn's website.
Five arrests have been made following yet another break-in at a St. Clair Shores church. Leaders at Church of the Living God say that they've become targets of repeated vandalism, with damage inflicted costing the church tens of thousands of dollars to fix. The most recent break-in was early Monday morning when the vandals removed signs off bathrooms. Church leaders say that there were five people during that break-in who were all apprehended after a short chase by police. Police say they're seeking charges against all five suspects, and the cases remain under investigation.
Alerting new details on the president's response to the secret switch that he made on his way home from Turkey last month that saw a plane full of people, including several of his own cabinet members, unknowingly serving as decoys in the sky.
Trump dismissing concerns about the threat posed to those who remained aboard the plane he was supposed to be on.
Actually, the plane that I flew on was at greater risk. I think it was at greater risk.
Now, the president has said he was just doing what the military and Secret Service told him to do. Ask what Trump thought of all this subterfuge. A top aide says he loved it.
ABC correspondent Mary Bruce.
After a disappointing season for the Lions last year and several other years, some fans are brushing it off as the team gets ready to play their first preseason game. WWJ's Luke Sloan joining us live to explain. Hey, Luke.
Jack, you're right. The Lions are going to win the Super Bowl this year, right? You know, they're undefeated. They haven't lost yet. Of course, it's only preseason game number one tonight. Lions at the Cincinnati Bengals at 7 o'clock. It's the first of three preseason games before the season opener, September 13th at Ford Field against the New Orleans Saints. And a whole lot of Lions fans I'm talking to are optimistic. They think they'll bounce back from not making the playoffs this year, show the grit and passion that we're used to under Dan Campbell, and get right back to where they want to be. Not all fans, though, feeling like that. I spoke to Michael. He's from Southfield, and he's a little bit less optimistic.
I hope for a better season than last year, but I think that they're going to be right where they were last year.
Why do you think that is?
I just think that this game is determined between five and six plays each game, and the way that it falls is kind of going to be one of those years where, again, injuries and depth, especially in the back of the defense, is probably going to cause them a couple of games.
Now, it is our first chance to see the 2026 Lions. Tonight, though, not a ton of starters will play. The highlight would be the rookie right tackle, first-round pick Blake Miller of Clemson. He will suit up for this game, which you can hear at 7 o'clock over on 97.1 The Ticket. Reporting live in Southfield, Luke Sloan, WWJ News Radio 950.
For the latest news plus traffic and weather together on the 8s, tune to AM 950. Follow WWJ on our Odyssey app or ask Alexa to play WWJ News Radio 950.